sharks are at the top of the food chain. So if the bottom of the food chain becomes impacted, how soon are we really going to be seeing some serious devastation of the entire food chain in the Gulf of Mexico?
Well, again, this is a unknown entity for us. It's never happened in this area before. We can hypothesize at this point, and that's about it. There's no doubt that the base of the food chain, of course, is the plankton. Oil at the surface and midwater going downwards are impacting every layer of plankton productivity. So certainly in the area, immediate area where the oil is, it's certainly having a tremendously deleterious effect on the plankton community. Without that base of the food chain, we're going to see major changes through the productivity of the entire food chain. The most obvious first opportunity, of course, are the direct plankton feeding organisms. And within the shark world, that says whale shark, the largest of the sharks and a plankton eating animal. So we have already seen some whale sharks found near the oil spill. They clearly will be affected in the long run, both directly through oil coating their gills and other sorts of things, but also indirectly, of course, through the reduction in their prey items. More importantly, however, the effects of the loss of plankton in the area is going to have a trickle-down effect through the entire food chain. And without plankton, you're not going to have plankton-eating fishes. Without plankton-eating fishes, you're not going to get the carnivores that eat those fishes and so forth, all the way up to the top of the food chain to the sharks. So there's going to be a serious effect all the way through. Once we get a better understanding of exactly what the scope of the destruction, if you will, is in terms of the breadth of the oil spill, how much is actually coating the bottom, what the ambient levels of petroleum byproducts are in the water, those kinds of things, we'll begin as a group of scientists to have a better understanding about the severity of the problem. And with that severity, we can then have a better opportunity to suggest what the timeline might be for recovery. The problem is, we know, for instance, in Alaska waters that there's still problems associated with the Exxon Valdez, and that's more than 10 years ago. So that's an example. This field is greatly bigger than the Exxon Valdez. So in the end, it's going to have direct effect on certain things like fisheries. Clearly, the fisheries in some of these areas simply are going to be gone for a prolonged period of time because just simply having the oil sitting on the bottom, regardless of the health of the fish or shrimp or whatever that live there, makes anything brought up from that bottom automatically contaminated. So there's going to be broad areas that are going to be out of bounds for long periods of time, almost certainly decades.
Take us inside your world a little bit. You just came back from a shark conference. What are you shark experts talking about amongst yourselves? I mean, are you concentrated on the oil spill in the Gulf primarily, or are there bigger fish that you're frying, basically?
Well, at these conferences, of course, it's a cross-section of all of the kind of research that's being done by myself and all my colleagues. And it ranges in topics from very applied stuff to the very esoteric. It's an opportunity when you go to one of these professional meetings to get a real view of what's going on in terms of current research of your colleagues. And in the shark world, there's not that many researchers worldwide. In fact, most of us could probably name most of the people in the world plying our trade. And
sharks aren't necessarily popular, but they were already endangered.
The decline of sharks on a worldwide basis, largely as a result of overfishing, has been sort of a double-edged sword. For the animals, of course, it's been just terrible. But for the science around the sharks, it's been good in the sense that with this decline, finally there's some resources starting to be placed as in priority basis for shark research. And so We're able to do a little better now than we did 30 years ago in terms of acquiring the resources needed to develop good research programs. So it's a double-edged sword. It's bad for the sharks. It's been good for the biologists. And now we hope we're trying. We hope we're going to be able to pay that back, if you will, by developing successful management options such that these animals will return to former abundance.
Why is it so important to maintain the health of these predators?
Well, of course, that's the grand catch-22 in these situations. And I could answer that by saying, from a purely philosophical standpoint, every animal, every plant has its place in the grand scheme of things. The world, the natural world around us, does not give greater value to a shark or a mosquito or the cholera bug. They all have their place in the grand scheme of things. But when you look at sharks, of course, you're looking at kind of a unique situation. You have the apex predators of the sea, the top of the food chain, animals that have been around for 400 million years and have evolutionarily developed into being quite superior predators. And in that sense, sharks are essentially poster children for the health of the sea. And if an animal that's so finely designed and so awesome in its own world can be knocked down so quickly in one generation of humankind, what's going to happen to the rest of the sea? And, of course, the oil spill in the Gulf is a perfect example of what can happen. And not only are we going to town on the resources in an uneducated way, knocking these things down around the world, but then you have these sources of pollution and so forth. We have development, habitat loss. All of these things are affecting the ocean. So the sharks are really poster children for the decline of the sea. And sharks, like every other animal or plant, have their Achilles heel. And their Achilles heel is that they're too damn good at finding food. And so they'll take a hook very readily. And we're very good at giving them those hooks.
So if you had a word for the Obama administration and for our state lawmakers, what do you want to say to them?
Well, I try to stay out of the political arena.
Hard in this case, so.
What I'd say to national and local politicians are, hey, insert some science into the system in a serious way. And listen to it. Don't just take it and then run your own way. While this is information, just like any other bits that they have to weigh and put together, our understanding of many of these things is such that we can make some predictions on time and energy and so forth, and it'd be probably pretty wise to listen to more of that.